America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Blaylock Dialysis Center is a convenient, state-of-the-art dialysis center in the Houston area, run by Dr. Panakin Patel. Relax in a comfortable environment while receiving quality care. Serving adults 18 to geriatrics, we are here to help you. Call 713-463-6611 for more information or visit us at our website at www.blaylockdialysiscenter.com. Blaylock Dialysis Center, where helping you get well is our priority.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raj Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Then Actronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at actronica.net. Actronica, where we deliver for you.
Take a break. Breathe. Why don't you visit the Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center? 518-589-5000.
Hi, this is Reverend Sylvia Sumter with Unity of Washington, D.C., and I'm here just to tell you how much I love listening to America Meditating with Sister Jenna. It's a fabulous show, fabulous guests, wonderful readings with Sister Gita. It's enough to feed your soul. It's a delight to the spirit. Hope you'll tune in.
Thank you, Reverend Sylvia. Always nice to have your shout-out for our show. Welcome, everyone. This is America Meditating Radio, and I'm your host, Sister Jenna. And I'm hoping that you are in a good place of awareness and consciousness and believing that your thoughts really do make a difference. It's one of the most under-researched and underappreciated practice in the universe because we are in energetically the space that we're in on the planet because of what we are each thinking. Whether we think that our thoughts are not being revealed or not, they are. Because when you even just look at the political climate, when you look at the intensity in religious fundamentalism, when you look at the corruption in corporation, when you look at the deception in relationships or maybe the lack of trust in relationships, they're all signaling to us an accumulation of the quality of our thoughts. Now, let us also keep in mind that when you're having pure, elevated, beneficial, peaceful thoughts, that those are also contributing to the story. And because we know that many of us on the planet are also involved in that and we are very much engaged in the quality of pure thinking and the quality of peaceful thinking, that means that there is some sort of a continuation even when something breaks down, no longer can continue. For example, even if you have an old car, and in your mind, you keep thinking, God, I wish I had a new car, right? And so at some point, you decide to trade in your car or sell your car. And then what usually happens? You get another car. And the reason why is because you were contributing thoughts towards a better car, a better way of expressing yourself through a vehicle. And so similarly, the same formula is happening on our planet. The more we pay attention to our pure thinking and our peaceful thinking, or the more we actually amplify an inner dialogue, pure feelings, good feelings, elevated thinking. And a lot of times people will ask me, Sister Jenna, what does it mean to meditate? Or what really are positive thoughts? I go, always at your base, have the thought or the consciousness that I wish for everyone to be benefited. And just by beginning that one simple internal mantra, that is my pure wish, that everyone is benefited. Then from there, watch your thoughts continue this history, or this story rather, of basically confirming that you do wish for others to be benefited. And so this is my pure wish, and the reason why I'm sharing that with you, today we have a return guest, one of my very, very dear brother, Dr. David Nickel, who's a director and co-founder of the Gaia View. And David's going to be sharing with us his new book, Subtle Activism, The Inner Dimension of Social and Planetary Transformation. David and I have known each other for quite some while, and one of the unique things about subtle activism is that the proof of your subtle activism first is revealed through your ability to be genuine, sincere, and present, but also consistent in your act of charity towards the self and humanity. It's not a very, very visible practice because we're not living in a very subtle world. And so it takes a lot of faith, courage, continuity, consistency in order to trust that your pure thoughts do make a difference. And so we're going to have a heart-to-heart conversation with David. Before I get David on the air, I want us to go to our beloved Sister Gita and have her help us to keep raising our vibrational frequency as she shares with us one of her sweet readings. Sister Gita?
Greetings of peace. Our deepest desire is to always feel great. So I'm taking from the book Feeling Great, How to Change Your Life for the Better, authored by Daddy Janki. How to Feel Great. Feeling great begins with inner harmony, honesty, friendship, and peace. And I selected from those four, inner peace. Feeling great begins with stepping inside to meet ourselves, to observe how our inner world is functioning. What are the thoughts and feelings there, and how we are creating them? When we step inside and see and accept ourselves exactly as we are at that moment, we begin to create peace within. The original peace that is at the core of our being starts to flow. Positivity is a natural outcome of the experience of peace. When the feeling of peace and positivity remains constant, no outside event or other person can interrupt the flow. However, we begin with the feeling of peace. To begin this feeling of peace, the feeling of peace may ebb and flow, and our feelings and mood fluctuate. This confuses us and those around us. They have to deal with our swings and imbalances and can never be quite sure how to position themselves when dealing with us. They certainly do not feel great. Feeling great must encompass the capacity to remain stable in whatever positive attitude we have, and that makes others feel great. Words to ponder on. To get back to my feeling great. Have a great day. Thank you.
Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth.
let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time,
letting go from off the grid into the heart. Our wonderful brother, Dr. David Nickel, is the director and co-founder of the Guyfield Project, an action research center founded at the California Institute of Integral Studies that advances the study and practice of subtle. And I know that I've heard many people ask me, Sister Jenna, what is subtle? Like, I say introspective. So, subtle activism. His new book, Subtle Activism, The Inner Dimension of Social and Planetary Transformation, is the first comprehensive treatment of the topic. David is also co-founder of Be the Peace, one of the world's largest global meditation events that occurs annually on the International Day of Peace. He is also a former environmental lawyer from Australia and teaches a subtle activism at the California Institute of Integral Studies and at the Shift Network. And today we're very proud to welcome our lovely brother. Hi, David.
Hi, Sister Jenna. It's so nice to be with you as always.
Definitely. I want to get right into the book because I think that the book is a huge tool right now that a lot of folks are not aware of how this particular practice or this particular understanding is so vital in the way that we shift the consciousness and the way in which the world is functioning. Let our listeners know a little bit about the book and what it took for you to actually get to its completion and then having it available for the public to learn from.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. Yeah, it was a very deep labor of love to write this book. It was based on my PhD dissertation work and then several years of crafting that into a book. And it was my attempt to really lay the foundations for this emerging field of practice that we call subtle activism, which, as you know, is really an ancient approach that many cultures and wisdom traditions have applied in terms of understanding that our spiritual practices are not just for our own awakening and development, but can also be applied to support the health and harmony of the whole. And subtle activism is a term that I use to give that ancient practice sort of a modern context to understand how it is that we can contribute to the collective today through our spiritual practices, especially when we come together intentionally in large groups as we're able to today with all the technology we have. And the book really was my attempt to establish a kind of credibility for that idea. I go very deeply into what scientific research we have about the effectiveness of non-local connections, and also the history of this practice in terms of how it's played out in different traditions, and just its significance for our moment. You know, it's a very crucial turning point, it feels like, in the evolution of consciousness on the planet, and to try to understand, you know, what's really happening and how can we play a role in bringing forth a planetary culture of wisdom and peace at this time. And I believe subtle activism is one of those practices that can help in that process.
So, you know, when we look at individuals, let's just say that you're not talking to the luminaries on the planet. You're not talking to the transformational thinkers of the planet. Maybe you're not talking to folks who have considered themselves awakened. But you're talking to individuals who are running after material power, nuclear power, a global power, political power, religious power, even power that even can be in a relationship where one person in a relation drives or elevates themselves based on feeling that they are dominant in the relationship rather than having sort of a shared respectocracy amongst themselves. So as you get an idea now, so we're talking to that group of individuals, and I hope that by accident one of them actually turn on America Meditating Radio and actually begin to hear our conversation. So in your book, you are exploring whether consciousness-based practices like meditation and prayer can contribute to social change and shifts in our planetary consciousness. What were your findings in this particular area? Because a lot of those individuals that I've just outlined, they consider meditation to be pagan work. You know, they consider meditation to be for losers. They consider the folks that are, you know, having this kind of dialogue to be out there, or perhaps they're saying, I can't understand it, and maybe they haven't gotten the right introduction to it for them to even think that it must become a part of their narrative. Jesus meditated for 40 nights, 40 days, and so it's not something that's odd to folks, but I'm just curious as to why is it become such a, like, you know, step away, that's not for me. And so we want to talk to that audience. How do you communicate to them? Like, what have been your findings that you could actually help them to understand?
Yeah, I have a couple of angles there, a couple of thoughts of that. The first one is I actually don't feel myself to be on a mission of, you know, converting everyone to the gospel of subtle activism necessarily. And I actually feel like it's more consistent with how I understand subtle activism to work is that, you know, first and foremost, I do want to turn on the people who are, you know, already leaning into that approach. And the idea is that if the, you know, if the subtle activism hypothesis actually works, as I believe it does, the more we practice together, the more it actually subtly opens and softens the collective psyche to this idea, so that more and more there is this felt sense of interconnectedness that starts to permeate the whole field. And just, you know, subtly, it starts to make people throughout the whole field more and more open to this idea, so it can have that effect. And again, that, you know, that's why it's subtle. So not necessarily to have to engage in battles with, you know, hardened skeptics and materialists to, you know, twist their arm to convince them about this, but to trust the process that organically in time we are shifting the psychic atmosphere so that there is generally this greater openness to this possibility. So that's one answer. Having said that, I do go into quite a lot of detail in the book about what we actually know from scientific research, empirical evidence about non-local connections and how this works. And probably the most relevant research that's been done has been done by the transcendental meditation scientists, what they call the Maharishi effect, where they find in over 40 studies that when you have large groups of people together in meditation, you see these consistent improvements in these statistics that social harmony in nearby cities. And, you know, they've done these experiments over and over again, and many of them have been published in very prestigious scientific journals, so they've passed that threshold of, you know, scientific rigor. And so, you know, that's just one series of studies that I looked at. There's, you know, there's a lot of research in the fields of parapsychology and distant healing that support this finding. So, you know, for some people who are very into that scientific mindset, that research can be very, you know, effective at seeing, well, actually there is empirical evidence about this phenomenon.
And you know what, David, perhaps it is the fact that we just don't have the right kind of a PR agent on the global level to pay the kind of money that's needed to get it out into the masses. And one of the things that I have loved about you is, like what you said earlier on in answering the question, is I'm not here to try to convert a whole bunch of people. I'm here to speak to the people that are interested in this and who wish to amplify this. And you and I both know historically, consciousness, civilization, and history has been marked by the voices of few, not the many, not the majority. So it's true, you know, and I wish to amplify that to all of our listeners today. Don't think that because there are 10 million followers on your Twitter or on your Facebook, it means really our impact and change. It happened because of one person's voice that implemented or actually allowed that 10 million to come on board. And so when I look at subtle activism, I do look at the few well-intended individuals that are definitely aware that that subtle area of consciousness does create an impact. What are your thoughts recently about the conflict and divisiveness that we're witnessing in the political arena? And I'm sure it's going to get even more entertaining. And, you know, what does this say about the state of our collective and global consciousness that we're witnessing globally? I interviewed someone from Sweden yesterday, and I asked her what were her thoughts in Europe about what they were witnessing happening in America. And she says, well, you know what, for us and many of my friends here, and she's one of the Super Soul 100 spiritual leaders that Oprah selected, and she said, I don't feed my consciousness that. It's not important. I want to feed something else that's important. But I do know that you and I have been watching this process in the country, because I think that's where we step in and really amplify our work in the world. So what are your thoughts about the conflict and divisiveness that you're witnessing at this time?
I mean, you know, like most people, I also have concern about seeing some of the things, the more extreme expressions that we're seeing in the political arena this year and all over the world, the violence and the polarization. And, you know, to take a deeper perspective, it's something that is being anticipated, you know, as we go through this transition, this historic transition where more and more people feel like the systems that we have are not working, are not serving where we need to go, that there's a certain inevitability that we have to pass through a kind of breakdown of those systems. And you may come to see some of the things that we're experiencing, and perhaps more. We know that there's so many factors that, you know, there's environmental factors. There's financial, political, so many ways that our old systems are reaching a kind of breaking point. So I think what brings me hope is this recognition that alongside any historical period where there's that kind of breakdown, possibility of a breakthrough to the new world that's emerging, which is something of a different order altogether, a quantum leap, I believe, that's possible, to pass through to a fundamentally more interconnected planetary wisdom civilization that I believe we're groping towards. And I also do believe, as your friend from Europe mentioned, that there's something that we need to be mindful of, I think, in terms of if we are receiving all of our information through the media about what's happening. It's one source of information, but it's coded in a certain way, that has us, tends to activate our alarm. When I and my colleagues and friends tend to tune in more with our own sort of inner perception about what's happening in the world, so we get a different picture. There are different potentials and possibilities that we sense, that it's not as bad as it seems when if you're taking in your view just from the media perception of things. And so, I think that can be a healthy practice, just to disconnect from that diet, to not be overloaded with that, and to start to perceive together what are we actually sensing as possibilities of this, emerging world. We actually feel like there's a lot of light. There's a lot of light in the world at the moment that is helping us to not be activated by all of these provocations to continue to go down this cycle of reaction and more violence. I think we've actually done fairly well in some sense to be still holding it together as much as we are. So, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. In a conversation with Carl Kalaman, as you might know him, he's very much of an expert in the Mayan calendar. Carl talks a lot about a golden age that is coming, and in your sharing that you just offered as well, you talked about a future world, like a future conditioned world, not a conditioned world, but a future world that, that's why we're doing all of this effort. Our own Brahma Kumari spiritual community started this initiative only for the students of the BK called Seeing Into Being. Because here we've been in existence for 80 years, and while on the journey, sometimes you lose sight on what highway you were down. And so this whole project is about, are you really prepared for the new world, the new age of consciousness, the utopia that we have continuously made our spiritual efforts for? So my question to you is, what's David Nicol interpretation, vision, or knowledge of a better world, of a new world? Like, how does it look, and how does that subtle activism feed into that?
I think the first thing I want to share about that is, when we talk about this possible world, it's not some fantastical utopian vision necessarily. It's very natural and inevitable that life progresses and evolution happens, and things are moving naturally in a certain direction toward wholeness, towards just growth, just like the spring comes and you can't get evolution. So on some level it's a natural thing. One of the big elements to me that I see is this emergence of a more planetary consciousness that where, feels like, again, there's an inevitable movement more and more towards expanding our awareness from just being Americans or Australians or English or, whatever, to just knowing that we are part of this interconnected system. And, you know, there's the pragmatic side of that, but I feel like there's an emerging spiritual dimension of that shift, where we can awaken to the joy of being, you know, an interconnected world. So that's one side of it for me. Another dimension that I see is very much about this balancing of the masculine and feminine principles, where we had, you know, for millennia an imbalance there in terms of how things are organized on the planet. So I definitely feel like part of the shift is a reemergence of the feminine principle, and, you know, coming back into rhythm with the cycles of life, which I see is very much related to the feminine wisdom, and, you know, becoming back in tune with nature, tune with the rhythms and the cycles, moving away from this sort of more mechanistic model that we've had. And then the third aspect that I would say is a reintroduction of the sense of the sacred into our public awareness, so that we've had for a long time in the West this split where our spirituality has sort of been pushed more into the private realm. And so this sense of some sort of like renaissance of Western spirituality is what I would love to see, where we see new forms of like a non-dogmatic spirituality that can emerge more into our public sphere, where we're able to, you know, open to the sacred and open to spiritual wisdom that can infuse our public life, not just our private life. But and that's not about, you know, going back on the separation of church and state, but it is about recognizing we need that kind of wisdom to guide us collectively, and we need to have a certain reverence for the sacredness of life if we're going to live sustainably on the planet. So I see that dimension coming forward more fully into the public sphere.
Hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to have, I know, that level of consciousness in order to bring it forth, because if we can't even envision it, then we certainly can't feel it, and if we're not feeling it, we can't act on it. About the book, let's get back a little bit about the book. Where can our listeners get information about the book, and how is it doing so far?
Yeah, thanks, Sister Jenna. It's doing great, actually. I was very delighted to see it. It actually made it to number one on the Amazon bestseller list in the transpersonal psychology category last week. So we're very thrilled to hear that. People can go to subtleactivism.net to learn more about the book. That's subtle, S-U-B-T-L-E, activism.net. To buy the book or to learn more about the book, and it's a very exciting phase with the launch. Yeah,
beautiful. Now, do you have a book tour coming up?
I am doing events in the Bay Area and some in LA, that's all I have planned for the moment. But next year, there may be some events I'm doing in Ohio, and hopefully to get over to the East Coast as well. But that's sort of in motion right now. We'd love to get over to you guys in New York, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to have you. You know that it's your home here. Leave us with your best vision for Dr. David Nichol that would make the world a better place.
I think that... this main impulse to bring forward this practice of subtle activism is really to give more and more people around the world this direct felt experience of our essential unity, and to harness that experience of unity for the purpose of, you know, healing our planet. And I find it to be It's an immensely powerful process when you bring like-minded people together from different parts of the planet, different cultures and religions, and where they get to have that direct sense that we are in our most essential selves, you know, one of one mind and one heart, and to discover our collective power as just us, as simple human beings, but joined together in our love and concern for the earth and for each other. And so I think my deepest wish is just to have more and more people around the planet to turn on to that experience, to that stream of wisdom and joy and love that emerges when we connect together in that way, and the hope and positivity that arises from that experience. So, you know, I just see more and more people connecting in that way and spreading that vibration of love and hope around the world. That's my deepest vision.
Excellent, and so it is. Thank you, David, mm-hmm. and wishing you all the continued success for your book, Subtle Activism, The Inner Dimension of Social and Planetary Transformation. All the
Thank
best.
You so much, Sister Jenna. Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
Love to you.
Take
Bye.
Care. Same to you. Bye-bye. So it's so beautiful to have a sense of light consciousness, the fact that there's a lot of good going on in the planet. And if we focus more on the good, then just imagine the kind of energy that we will bring into the continuity when the old systems can no longer sustain itself. And I think that's what I've appreciated with the Guyfield Project and also with this new book out by Dr. David Nickel. Please go to guyfield.net, GAIAFIELD.net for more information. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. I'm going to end today's show with Open My Eyes by Bliss. Take care, everyone. All the very best. Thank you.